Could you imagine being king with all that in front of you? How do I rule? A lot of us may not imagine being a king or a queen or president. But even though there are a lot of differences, there are some similarities, because it's not unreasonable that Solomon was perhaps around our college student's age when he was asking for that prayer, asking God in that prayer, asking for wisdom, asking for an understanding mind and discerning good and evil. And so while we may not be a king over a nation, we are presented with the same opportunity of choices every day in life. We're bombarded with all sorts of opportunities, all sorts of noise, all sorts of information. And isn't it true today that we need discerning hearts? We need understanding minds. We need wisdom from God. This morning, I want us to think a little bit about anxiety. It's funny how things come together because last month, well, I had agreed to speak in Kentucky at an area-wide for youth, and then they gave me a topic on worry and anxiety. And then in the month of July, I was also asked to read a book related to a project at work on anxiety. And I had been thinking about what would be a good topic, as we have many new students in the audience, that would be good for them, but also good for all of us. Well, we know there's a lot of talk in our world about anxiety. But I want us to think this morning about the opportunities that we have in redeeming anxiety. What can we do with our anxiety? Mental health professionals define anxiety as a feeling of excessive worry, nervousness, or fear. And this could be about real or perceived threats. And it's often accompanied by physical symptoms. And it becomes a disorder when it's persistent and overwhelming and when it interferes with daily life. And so there can be specific kinds of anxiety. There can be panic disorder. There can be social anxiety. There can be phobias. Did you know that anxiety has become one of the most common reported illnesses in the U.S., especially among teenagers and young adults? There's a lot of different stats out there, and of course, you know, now bombarded with information, you can be skeptical towards what's reality. But here's one that seems like it potentially could be correct based on a variety of numbers looking into this. But just for example, in 2023, 36% of U.S. college students reported being diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. And that's being diagnosed, reporting being diagnosed. And we all know that a lot of times anxiety comes up a lot in conversation. And there are some possible responses. For one thing, we could see anxiety as merely a physical health condition. And the reason why I say we don't want to go down this route is because saying it's merely a physical health condition. Yes, there are physical aspects to it, but it's possible from a worldly mindset to say, okay, well, there's some sort of physical problem here that we need to address, and it's divorced from any sorts of spiritual concerns. And it's something that can be managed, and we manage it by technique or therapy or medication. By the way, this is not to deny any of the value of those things. What I'm saying is, someone without a spiritual mindset saying, oh, this is just a physical thing we have to manage. These are things of helpful breathing things. I do them. Somebody told me to do it this morning, right? So we do these things to help our anxiety. But another thing, another response may be, well, it's just an obstacle. And maybe someone who doesn't deal with the challenge of anxiety will say, well, we'll just pray about it. Be anxious for nothing, as the Bible tells us. So this is just something, a problem, a flaw, maybe even a sin. Maybe it's a lack of faith, and we just need to pray it away. And so maybe you're clobbered by Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. We shouldn't be anxious. We're Christians. We have the good news. I think a response that we should take is thinking about anxiety as an opportunity, that we take into account what God has to say, what Scripture has to say. We think about it holistically. We think about it from the physical aspect and things that we can do. We think about it emotionally. We think about it spiritually. And to see anxiety as an opportunity to take our burdens to God, to meet Jesus in our anxiety. So it begins to say, how can God transform me? How can God grow me through these feelings that I don't want to feel? And so instead of merely focusing on trying to reduce, how can we be refined? How can we be transformed? And so this morning, that's what I want us to think about, as anxiety as opportunity. Some of these ideas come from that book that I mentioned, Anxiety Opportunity, by Curtis Chang. And one of the things that he defines anxiety as is anxiety is a fear of loss. And so as I read through this book and thinking about this, I think there's some real truth in this regard, but I wouldn't have initially defined anxiety in this way. But think about this. Anxiety is a fear of loss. If that's the case, what are you afraid of losing? Is it, have you ever had a health scare? You have a scan and it comes back, we got to do a follow-up. And sometimes it was nothing and sometimes it is something. But do you remember in the midst of not knowing, there's a lot of anxiousness, a lot of anxiety. There can be those big life scary moments, but also there's also the first day of school anxieties. Whether you're a kindergartner or a college freshman, right? There can be those, what if it doesn't go well? How do I do this? How do I know where to go? What if I walk in the wrong class? What if I don't have any friends in my class? What I want us to do is take a moment and let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. See, Tristan got the memo. I didn't even have to tell him. And he shared this a little bit just a minute ago as we were talking about the opportunity to give. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus tells us, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Notice in this passage here, Jesus is mentioning these fears of fear of loss of food or drink or clothing. And notice Jesus emphasizes the fear of future loss, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. And as we think about this at the time, many of them living under more of a subsistence economy, where by that what I mean is that you basically produce just enough to get by. You produce enough to meet your basic needs of food and shelter and clothing. And so the crowd in Jesus' day, they're concerned with the possibility of losing these essential things of food and drink and clothing. We live in more of an abundance economy, where a lot of production exceeds the basic needs, and so there's a surplus. And so while we may not fear, although there are, right, many that still fear the essentials in this way, but for many, they fear losing more abstract things in our day and economy. Maybe it's status. Maybe a comfortable salary. A retirement. A sense of belonging. You see, this goes back to what we're talking about anxiety as this fear of loss. Anxiety tries to make us fear something that could happen. Something that could happen. It takes you from the present moment and it carries you into a future scenario of loss. And so how do we respond to that? If you're like me and you're a planner, you start to try to think about how you could hedge all these things to prevent the loss. And so we look for some sort of alternative of how do I avoid it? Or we might think, well, if God just gives me this. Or do we distinguish our desire for the things we want and instead direct our attention to the person, to the architect, to God our Father? Notice that's in the passage. God your Father knows this already. So how do we alleviate anxiety? How do we help redeem anxiety? Is it the focus on, am I going to have enough food and drink and clothes that God provides? Not primarily, but instead, having God as our Father in the first place. To take a moment before we go down the path of what we need, to pause and be still in the moment of our Heavenly Father. My friend Lawson, who's somewhere here today, we were just on the back porch Friday morning and we were talking about this. We were saying, do we seek to try to trust, or do we trust in the supplies? Or do we go to the one who supplies all our needs? It's easy to focus on the things, but instead to remind ourselves to go to our Heavenly Father. And you see, the answer is not to get rid of desires because, well, we're beings who desire things, and we always will. We have desires. That's how God made us. So you see, the problem really is thinking about that we desire wrong things or we desire things in the wrong order. We have disordered desires. And so we need to organize our desires by looking to God and first desiring Him for who He is. Not what we can get from God, but loving God for who He is. So as we think about this, I'm about to offer some practical suggestions, but what I want us to think about as we wrestle with our anxiety, which we're all going to have at different times and in different ways to different degrees, is making that shift, thinking about what am I fearing that I'm going to lose. And before I'm carried down that path, let me go back to shift to thinking to the who. Instead of desiring the things or the what, desiring the who is the critical step. Desiring God our Father. There's a difference between a heavenly supply chain and our Heavenly Father. You see, in that passage that we just read, when Jesus is talking, it's not that the birds are fed that is primary, but the God who feeds them. It's not that the grass of the field is clothed, but the God who clothed them. If God cares for these things, won't He care for you and me? And you see, that is the starting point. We have a God who cares. As it said in verse 32, your Heavenly Father knows these things. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs. So let's think about some practical ways that we can think about redeeming anxiety, seeing anxiety as an opportunity. And here's something to propose, that anxiety is unavoidable because loss is unavoidable. We live in a fallen world. We deal with the consequences of our own sin or maybe the sin of others and we innocently bear consequences. You see, we encounter pain and suffering and loss in this world. So there's not a magical thing that happens becoming a Christian. You never have to worry about anxiety again. But instead of trying to live in denial to avoid the loss, we have an opportunity. You see, in the Gospels, people repeatedly approach Jesus for their needs. With their needs related to spiritual health, physical, often physical health. And so we too are invited to take our anxieties to Jesus. Take them to Jesus for an opportunity of growth. And so instead of focusing or trying to avoid the loss, let's turn to God. I'm going to have four suggestions as we close out today. First off, thinking about prayer. Now, earlier I had just used prayer to say, you know, somebody might say from Philippians 4, be anxious, do not be anxious about anything. Just pray it away. If you're anxious, well, then maybe your faith's not in the right place. Let's look at this, though, in the context. Actually, in Philippians 2, Paul is anxious to hear from them. He's like, once I hear, I won't be as worried about you, right? So think about here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the reality is that we face loss, and that's going to lead to anxiety. But what we do is we take that and we cast our cares upon God through prayer and supplication. And what happens, we make those requests, and what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds. You can have peace even in the midst of conflict. You can have deep-seated joy even in the midst of suffering, because you're going to God and God is providing that peace that passes understanding. In fact, when I was looking at this, putting it together, I had a little note in my Bible, a little quote that came from Robert Hatfield. He's our regular preacher, so students, y'all should come back and hear him. I'm not the regular guy, okay? All right? So Robert had this: God's peace is better than the answers to my questions of why. I like that. God's peace is better than the answers to my questions of why. I'm about to teach a whole semester on suffering, on the problem of suffering. And one of the things we talk about in there is we all encounter pain and suffering. So can I trust God even when I don't understand? We take our anxieties to God. We let God search us. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. I like the NIV has anxious thoughts in there. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, we take our anxieties to God. Let him provide the peace. We let God search us and refine us and look to our hearts. This is not for punishment or for shame, but instead for correction and growth. Search me, God. You may try to hide parts of yourselves from other people and think that you can hide it from God. Why hide from God? He knows it already. Instead, let's go to our Heavenly Father who cares for us. We talked about this morning. This came up in our Bible class this morning, this idea of humbling yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You see, we take it to God in prayer. And the beautiful thing is we have a Savior who understands. We have a Savior who understands, and we have a Spirit who intercedes. So while it sounds like a cliche answer, you know, right, when we talk about if you read your Bible and pray every day, when you're doing that, you see the value of it. And when you're not doing that, you know, I need to read my Bible and pray every day. It's not rocket science. It's rather simple, but we need those continual reminders to make time to go to God in prayer. And guess what? We need each other. I hope you've seen the community of Jesus followers here, of Christians here, as we seek to follow God together. Tried to show you a little bit by everybody kind of lining up along the way because, you know, this building is rather big, find your way, so we want to make sure you know where you're going and be welcomed all along the way. It's interesting that the historic rise of anxiety in our society also goes hand in hand with the historic rise of loneliness. In 2018, the UK established Minister of Loneliness. That was somebody's job to address the loneliness reported in the nation, and Japan followed suit in 2021. As Galatians 6:2 reminds us, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How can we do that without a community drawn together because of a common love of Christ? You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm spiritual, like me and Jesus are good, but I don't need the institution of the church or anything like that. And I think we need to gently correct that understanding that, you see, God calls us in relationship with him, but by doing so, becoming part of the body of Christ, we are called into community and to relationship with one another. As Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, to not forsake the assembly. Don't miss church. Well, why? Why does it say don't miss church? Because the setup there is because when we come together, we stir up one another to love and good works. We encourage one another. We cannot do our Christian walk all alone. God did not intend it. and he gave us the blessing of one another. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we were studying this last semester, had a great study in our college class, and Peter talks about, he's like, I'm not telling you anything new. What I'm doing is I want to keep reminding you of these things and stirring them up in you regarding these qualities that you should have. And these are things that you already know. But I want you to be reminded, stir it up so you can recall them at any time. They're close at hand. So we need prayer. We need to go to our Father. That's an opportunity. But we have each other. We need to go to each other. And we have one another to stir each other up. But also say, as we talked about, that anxiety is the fear of loss, that anxieties will remain and loss is unavoidable, and so sometimes we're going to grieve. Now, Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, specifically talking about with death, that we do not grieve as others do who have no hope, but it's okay to grieve. In fact, we need to provide opportunities in which people can express their grief and we can support them together in community through that. We might feel awkward or about having the right words. You know what people say over and over? The power of presence. You don't even have to say a word. Sometimes we grieve, but we grieve with hope. We don't have time this morning, but I love the chapter of Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." I have a hard time with this because if you really confront and start to think about the pain and suffering and horrific things in the world, it is hard to understand how that won't even be worth comparing. But guess what? Can we trust God even when we don't understand? We don't have the frame of reference yet, but I'm going to trust God that we will. And so that the sufferings of this present time, even though living in this world right now, that's difficult for me, maybe difficult for you, but I trust God that it's true because of what's to come, and it won't be worth comparing. Not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. And Romans 8, you continue on, verse 23 and 24, it talks about we groan inwardly. We wait eagerly. And thank God that likewise we have a Spirit that helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And there's so much more here, but again, I'll just point this out as we move on. But in 31 and 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, God has already given us the greatest thing. He's given us his son. And so in the midst of our suffering and in the midst of our grief, we have opportunity to go back and to think about what God has done and what God will do. And we can ask in the present moment, God, what can you do with me through this? But you have to have a spiritual perspective. You have to have that spiritual perspective rather than merely an earthly perspective. And so ask yourself, will I continue to trust God even when I don't understand? And some of you have been there at the limits, at the edge, and you've answered that question, and you're here this morning, and your answer was yes. And if you haven't been to the limits of that, someday you will, and the question is, will I continue to trust God even when I don't understand, or will I turn away to other things? We have prayer, we have community, and yes, we will grieve. But let's grieve with hope. The last one I want to offer, just because I think it's a practical takeaway. And I don't know if you've practiced this, practiced it with our children, I've practiced it with myself. You know, when anxiety tries to hijack you, you know what I mean? The ruminating, like the over and over and over and over in your mind, where you're trying to go to bed and over and over and over in your mind. right? Sometimes when I'm in those moments, I take my hand, I'm like, okay, God, here, take it out. I remember one night I did that. And the next morning I told Alicia, I had so much anxiety. And I said, but I don't remember what it was about. I was like, it worked, right? In that moment, I still can't recall what it was, but I just remember like, Lord, that ruminating over and over, that hijacking. Here's the thing. Counter that by the act of naming. When we can name our thoughts, we can recognize them as distinct from us. When our emotions threaten to take control, we've all been there, right? You get caught up in all these things and you can feel out of control. Maybe it's anger, whatever the feeling, jealousy, whatever these feelings are. But it's this critical difference between a thought or feeling present within us and a thought or feeling becoming us. So a great power and opportunity for redeeming anxiety is we have one another, and we may indeed grieve and grieve with hope. But as we've talked about in prayer, going to God in prayer, let's go to God in prayer and say, this is what I feel. This is within me, but to name it and take it to Jesus, just like so many people in the Gospels did. And so we see this morning, as we think about opportunities for redeeming anxiety, that we take a holistic view, that there is physical aspects that we need to address, but there's emotional and spiritual things that we need to be thinking about too. That using the tools of prayer and community, even when we grieve, to grieve with hope and this act of naming, we can move towards, instead of trying to live in denial, we move towards the anxiety to not let it control us, but to have an opportunity for God to transform us. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Let's go back to Solomon. Just as Solomon prayed for wisdom and discernment, so can we. And praise God that God does not give it grudgingly. As James reminds us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Well, why are we asking God? Because he gives generously. He gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let's look at the remainder of that passage that was read about Solomon going to God. We see he asked for understanding mind, discerning heart. In verse 10, it says, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give to you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. You see, Solomon took his concerns to God, and in the same way, we are invited to as well. Our worries, our anxieties, as we've talked about this morning, but to be able to take all of ourselves to God. You see, don't give anxiety authority over your life that was only intended for God. It's only reserved for God. Anxiety is an opportunity for lasting spiritual growth. And so reflect on this as we wrap up this morning. Do you take your worry and your anxieties and your cares and your concerns to God? Again, not to seek the things, but to seek the one who provides. Doesn't matter what age you are in here, we all have that opportunity, and in different ways we need to do that with the cares and the anxieties that we have of this world. But God can provide that peace, and we can be encouraged, just as was mentioned in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again, not a shallow earthly perspective. This is not a health and wealth gospel. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is about being faithful to God and having a much bigger view in mind. You see, we can take our anxiety to God as an opportunity to grow in our faith and our trust of God's care. As we think about, I guess it came to mind about Romans. I love in Romans chapter 6, it's talking about dying with Christ, like being baptized with Christ, being baptized into his death, and to walk in newness of life. And he says, we're united in a death like his, so we're also united with him in a resurrection like his. So the beauty of that is, we're going to suffer. In fact, there's a whole lot about that in Scripture that we should expect suffering as a Christian, because we're invited to share in the sufferings that Christ suffered. But here's the hope. There may be worries and anxieties, there may be loss, there may be grieving, there may be suffering. But if you're buried with Christ in baptism, you rise with newness of life, you walk in the here and now as a follower of Christ, but the hope of the resurrection, that there is life awaiting us. We're going to sing Living Hope. Beautiful words, beautiful song. And if we can be of any help to you during this time, whether put on Christ or if you need prayers, whatever it is, we're here to help. And you can come forward as we stand and sing.